It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
Welcome back to another week of the PowerMizzou.com podcast. Over the next few weeks before they hit campus in Columbia, we're trying to catch up with some of Missouri's signees from back in February in the 2016 football recruiting class. We're going to start that today, a conversation with Nate Strong, running back from Hines Community College and before that, East St. Louis High School. Nate, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good.
What's it like down there in Mississippi? You kind of wrapping up your time there?
Yeah, I'm wrapping it up. And then all the class is strong, and it's pretty good. It's tough, but, you know, I get it done. It's a great atmosphere. It keeps me humble, and it also showed me when I get to Columbia to be happy and appreciate everything that I will have up there because, you know, this junior college, and it's pretty rough here, so
yeah.
It's not the best.
I was going to ask, kind of, what kind of culture shock has it been for you going from East St. Louis to Hines?
It's very slow. You know, I was in a big city. It was way faster than down here and everything. And it's real hot down here. You know, I'm not used to the heat, so I have to adapt to that and everything. But besides those things, it's been really good.
How nice has it been being down there with Greg Taylor and having somebody that you've known for a long time, so you're not just kind of thrown out in the middle of nowhere not knowing anybody?
It's been very good. Me and him share more of a brotherhood kind of thing, so we keep each other focused and push each other through everything we do. And so we try to just stay close with each other and keep our mind on the main goal is making it out and getting to Columbia.
Yeah, and the big question that obviously Missouri fans want to know, kind of, what's your timetable? When do you think that you will make it to campus in Columbia?
I will make it to campus in July.
Okay, so you'll get here for at least probably like half of summer workouts and then all of fall camp.
Yep.
Okay, yep. Now, what have the coaches told you, I mean, as far as their expectations for you coming in? Are you looking at this as, hey, got a chance to start at running back from day one?
I'm just looking at it. I'm just going to take advantage of every opportunity that they give me, and I will just step up and to the challenge, whatever challenge that I have to face, and I'm going to get the job done. Whatever I have to do, I will just do it.
And now, outside of we talked a little about the town and life in junior college, but how'd football go for you the last couple of years?
It's been really good. It's been cool. You know, it was kind of hard for me to adapt to the little system and everything because I was just coming out of high school. And once I learned the plays and everything, got used to being on campus and everything, probably said a couple weeks in, I got it.
Mm-hmm. I should have double-checked this, but did you play both years or did you take a redshirt down there? Will you be able to play 3 years up here?
No, I actually got 4 years with Missouri.
Okay. That's fantastic news for Missouri fans, and we are talking to Nate Strong, formerly of East St. Louis, and be on campus in July. And Nate, for Missouri fans who either haven't seen you play or at least haven't seen you play for a couple years, just how do you describe your game?
I would describe it as I would be more explosive in everything. I will add more to my game wise being quicker and be more I'll be more agile and everything towards running the ball and everything. So I would come out and I would get him a good show. I just got to come to the game and see.
All right, now I know every running back's going to say both to this question, but if you have to pick one, what is more your style, power or speed?
I say power.
Okay, tell me about how, I guess, kind of weird the last 6-8 months were. I mean, you signed out of high school, obviously, when Gary Pinkle was here, stayed committed through that whole process, and then he leaves and Barry Odom comes in. I mean, just as a guy who was obviously quite a ways away from Columbia, but knew this was where we're gonna play. How hard was that process for you?
It was very hard for me to make that decision and everything. Missouri is a good school, and we have former athletes from East St. Louis saying how to attend Missouri and play football for them, and they was very successful. And Gary Pinkle was a good coach, and he talked to me and kept me updated with things and wanted to be my coach. But like he said, he's still in the corner. Mm-hmm. Whenever that time come, when I need to talk or whatever like that, he's going to be there. It's a family thing now. That's what I like about Missouri. It's a family thing. It's no one being out to on their own thing and trying to fit in and follow others. They want you together to build a bond and for you to win ball games. They just don't care about school and sports. They care about your personal life. That's what they care about. They want to make sure your personal life is good and how your family doing and all that. So it was a very nice thing to be able to get recruited by Gary Pinkle and everything. So when that time came with Coach Odom, and when I met Coach Odom, he a very nice, laid-back coach, and he know what he's doing, and I think he's a nice guy for the job. So
now you talked about all the guys from East St. Louis that have come here the last few years, and there was a time before you got here that maybe East St. Louis and Missouri weren't on the greatest terms, but obviously that's turned around the last few years. I mean, just Coach Sunkett and that whole program, how is – what's the view of Mizzou back in your hometown now?
That's the home. That's second home. Mm-hmm. Everybody, that's the second home. Everybody loves Columbia, and they say that we made a good decision to go up there, and we want to win more ball games and put our names out there for our community and for we can open up the doors for other athletes in East St. Louis.
Now, one of the guys that's obviously already here, Terry, got hurt at the end of last year. But do you and Greg keep in pretty regular contact with him?
Yeah, I talk to Terry on a day-to-day basis. That's like another brother. We played together in high school, but we also was together outside of school, and we just playing on the same team with each other. We did a lot of things together. We talk a lot. He keep me updated on everything what's going on, and He talked to me about what I have to get done down here to finish, and I tell him the same thing, that he has to finish strong up there too. So we keep in contact. I just talked to him actually yesterday. Last night he called me. He was like, "What's up, bro?" and everything. And I was just talking to him and asking what I was doing. We had a nice conversation last night.
Does he sound like he expects to be there with you and play the first game of the year?
Yeah, he definitely was talking to me about what we have to get done to be able to be strong for the season.
Mm-hmm. One other guy who's still got another year at East St. Louis, I got to ask you about Jeff Thomas. This kid's name has been kind of thrown about all over the country the last couple of years. How good is he?
He's a very good athlete. He's quick, he's fast, and he's explosive. And he got a good vision. His IQ for the game is high.
So if you – let's say you lined up and raced Jeff, you got a shot to win that one?
They're pretty fast. I won't say it won't be no blowout or nothing like that, but it'll be very close.
All right, Nate, just kind of finishing up here. When do you finish classes down there? Like, what are your next couple months like before you get to get up here?
I would say I have one class in June, and that's it. And I'll be done. That's it.
You gonna get any chance to get back home before you go to Columbia then?
Yeah, I would have a week and a half, like a week and a half, yeah.
Okay. Well, good deal. Nate, I appreciate you taking some time, man. Good luck, and look forward to seeing you up here in midsummer.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. You too.
That is Nate Strong, East St. Louis, Hines Community College, and a kid that I know Missouri fans are really counting on and really looking forward to seeing. Okay, we're going to stick with the running back position. Again, talking to a lot of Missouri signees over the next few weeks. Just finished up with Nate Strong. Now we're talking to Demarie Crockett, an Arkansas native who signed with Missouri back in February. Demarie, how you doing today, man?
Doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. First off, just kind of want to ask, what are your next couple months like? Just finishing up high school, kind of taking it easy and enjoying it, or is it still a lot of hard work?
It's never easy. I mean, I'm just trying to finish up strong in school and just as far as just like keeping my body in shape, running a lot, lifting weights. You know, I want to come in best shape as possible.
Mm-hmm. What are your plans? When do you graduate, and how soon after that do they want you to be up in Columbia?
Well, I think I graduate on May 27th, and I go to Columbia June 4th, so I don't have too much time after I graduate, and that's a good thing, I think.
Yeah, you got a week to say goodbye to everybody, I guess, and you get back there a little bit in the summer. I wanted to ask you just about your whole recruiting process. Obviously, you committed to Boise State, and then what was kind of the process with Missouri after they – I mean, did you hear much from them or any from them before the coaching change?
Oh, no, I didn't hear from Mizzou any before the coaching change, and it was just – I mean, it was just odd. I felt like, you know, be committing to Mizzou at the last second. I mean, it happens every year, but in my eyes, it was just an odd recruiting process. But I feel like at the end of the day, I made the right decision on committing to Mizzou.
Yeah, it was. And I know, obviously, like you said, it happens a lot every year, and different kids change for different reasons. Was that a tough phone call to make when you had to tell Boise State?
That was a very, very awkward and tough phone call, I must say.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that in the end, your family and friends are probably pretty happy you're just a few hours from home now. I've been to Boise once, and it is much more difficult to get to from where you're at.
A lot more difficult.
Now, tell me about your game. A lot of Missouri fans haven't seen you play. I mean, how would you describe yourself as a running back?
I would describe myself, you know, I have the size, you know, to stick it inside and, you know, be able to get the tough yards, but I feel like I have just enough speed to break it off and go for the long score. And when, you know, I feel like when teams see me, well, when they saw me in high school, they thought since I was bigger, I wasn't as quick. So I guess my looks kind of deceive them.
I don't know much about kind of what the process has been like for you the last couple of months. I mean, with the new coaching staff here, do you guys get to – do you have some access to kind of the offense, the playbook, what they're going to want you to do, or is that something you've just got to start learning when you get on campus in June?
That's just something I got to start learning when I get on campus in June. Coach Heupel hasn't talked to me much about the offense at all, very much.
Mm-hmm. I guess it seems to me running back would be – maybe one of the easier positions to pick up an offense. I mean, I understand there's going to be differences from scheme to scheme, but by and large, your job is mostly going to be the same in any system, isn't it?
Yeah, in most systems. I feel like it's one of the easier positions to come in and, you know, learn easier as well.
Mm-hmm. What are your expectations? I mean, obviously, you know, Missouri struggled on offense last year and kind of looking for some things that lost their leading rusher. What are your expectations for your first year? Is this something that you expect to come in and compete for playing time right away?
I mean, yeah, I do. And, you know, it's not going to be easy at all. It's, you know, I have to get up there and get accustomed, you know, to the faster game speed. You know, everybody's big, everybody's fast. Every play is going to be a grind. You know, I'm just trying to get myself mentally ready more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Now, being an Arkansas guy, I want to ask you just, you know, is it something you look forward to that Missouri gets to play them every year now?
Oh, definitely.
is that like a chip on your shoulder that you know, you maybe they didn't recruit you as much as you would have liked, or will they just become another team to you?
Playing Arkansas, well, they'll definitely be a big chip on my shoulder in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Just being from Arkansas and getting to play Arkansas, you know, I've got a couple of old friends on that football team, so, you know, it'll be a fun game.
Mm-hmm. You know, what do you expect this summer? You know, do you expect it to be a pretty big leap, a pretty difficult adjustment, or do you really come into it not knowing what to expect?
I mean, it's just one of those things that you don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, Demaryius, I appreciate you taking some time, man, and look forward to catching up with you when you get up here in fall camp.
Yes, sir, same here.
All right, have a good one.
You too.
There you go, Missouri's, I don't know, backfield of the future. Nate Strong, Demaryius Crockett. First of all, I appreciate learning how to correctly pronounce Demaryius's name. It's not something that I knew for sure beforehand, so glad to get to do that. I know these are two guys that, frankly, I expect them both to play. I mean, I've said a number of times, I don't think Missouri's starting running back is on campus right now. Good news, definitely, that Nate Strong plans to be here in July. Demaryius Crockett will be here in June. Those are two guys that I don't know which one would start, if either one starts, but I expect both of them to play. Shed the red shirt, get in, new coaching staff. Clearly, as Strong as a guy that was on Missouri's radar for a long time, Crockett wasn't until the coaching change, but a new coaching staff identified him very early. And, you know, so I think that says they think he's got the stuff to come in and compete early as well. Running back, definitely a position with Russell Hansborough gone. Ishwitter showed some good things, certainly in the spring, I think, and in the spring game. But I think there's an opportunity definitely for playing time at that spot. All right, again, on the podcast over the last couple weeks, over the next couple weeks, we're kind of checking in on some other schools in the SEC East, see how spring football went, how things are going headed into the summer. We are going to peek in somewhere in Georgia right now with Anthony Dasher from UGA Sports. And, Anthony, what's going on, man?
Hey, Gabe, not much. Had Georgia, you know, wrapped up their spring practice, I guess it's just a little over a week ago now. But definitely a different type situation now. You know, Mark Rick going, Kirby Smart now taking over. So definitely a different vibe going on down here in Athens.
Yeah, I know, speaking for myself and a number of other media members I've talked to, one of our worst nightmares would be that the program we cover hires a Nick Saban assistant. Just from the standpoint of Saban has a way of doing things, and people who have been in that program probably adopt that way. I understand Kirby Smart has a connection to Georgia, so maybe it's a little bit different. But how's it been covering Kirby Smart the first couple of months?
It's been very similar to what I've been told as to what covering Nick Saban is like. There's a lot of similarities going on right now. Just from the way, you know, he approaches his business as a coach, the way you know, deals with the media, you know, the fact he doesn't let his assistant coaches talk, limiting the number of players we get to speak with after practice. But, you know, Georgia fans, I don't think they really care much about that at all, as long as the team can ultimately win like Nick Saban's teams do. But that's definitely, seriously, there are, at least from what I can gather, anyway, a lot of similarities that what folks see down in Alabama with Coach Saban, because Coach Smart, again, having been with him for 11 total years, you know, LSU, 1 year with the Dolphins, a couple years with the Dolphins, rather, and then 9 years at Alabama, you can definitely see where he's picked up some of his, things he's doing now.
Yeah, access up here was incredibly limited this spring. It was probably the biggest storyline of spring. Just people would ask us about the team, and we would say, guys, we don't know. We don't see anything.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie to you and say I do know. So covering Georgia, do you know anything more about this team than you knew at the start of spring practice?
Maybe a little bit, not a ton. Of course, they're doing things a little different as far as practice goes. You know, this year, two of Georgia are finally getting into the indoor practice facility business. They're currently building a gigantic facility, you know, adjacent to the Busfield building where the football offices are. The football team actually practices like 3 miles away from campus now, so the media has to board a bus. And a bus 3 miles to watch like 10, 15 minutes and come back. But, you know, there are some things, yeah, I won't lie, there are some things we still don't quite know about this team as far as how ultimately it's going to, you know, look on the field. But, you know, it's not really a lot, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm not thinking back of it.
Well, that's good to know. It can always be worse. At least I didn't have to ride a bus to practice. So, want to ask you about. I mean, obviously the big story this year for Georgia, I think, is Jacob Eason, the number one quarterback in the country, joining the squad. I mean, what's the anticipation like for Eason down in Athens, and you know, can you? When's the last time that, you think you covered a guy that came in with, this type of hype and excitement?
Well, as far as that goes, same type of hype. Gonna have to go back as far as Matt Stafford, where he came in as a true freshman, you know, a five-star kid from Texas. Same kind of a, you know, accolade people expecting him to, you know, be the, savior, so to speak, to lead Georgia to the football promised land. And those same kind of expectations and pressures are now being levied on Jacob Eason, who, again, you know, we saw him, you know, several times during the, you know, couple of rivals camps. Everybody knows about his arm. But, you know, Saturday a week ago, we finally got to see him in a, college-type situation under, you know, playing with better athletes, obviously, what he was used to out in, out in Washington. And he showed some he showed why he's is regarded, you know, so highly. You know, granted, you know, the G-Day games, scrimmage games, whatever, there's not a lot of, you know, and not all things defense can really do in these cases. Everything's really, really scripted. And what Jake was allowed to do, he looked very well, threw for over 200 yards, made a couple of throws that, honestly, I've not seen a Georgia quarterback make in a few years. Probably going back to, you know, when Aaron Murray was the quarterback. So, so the potential is definitely there. But again, he's just a true freshman. I mean, these weren't live bullets coming at him, you know, in the game. And there were a couple of times where I'm sure if they've been playing in Missouri or Alabama or whoever, he would have got drilled a couple of times in the backside for, you know, because his offensive line didn't get to pick up the rusher. But because he was in a black jersey, you know, he was kept safe from any kind of contact. But, you know, true freshman going to make mistakes in this league if he does wind up starting, which is still kind of a question right now. Even Matt Stafford, his first game, he came in against South Carolina, came in with three interceptions. So, you know, while Georgia fans are obviously very excited, and I think that's right, you know, rightfully so, I think Jacob Eason had a chance to be a very, very good quarterback. I kind of tend to not temper that just a little bit. I mean, again, this kid is just 18 years old. He's got a lot to learn.
Yeah, you are preaching to the choir about true freshmen making mistakes at quarterback. that was lived through in Columbia last year, no question. Plenty of other problems beyond Drew Lock, but he did have his share of growing pains. I won't hold you to this, but if I said you got to give me an answer today, do you think Jacob Eason's Georgia's starting quarterback this year?
At some point, yes. I don't think he'll be starting quarterback the first game against North Carolina. I really don't. I mean, I think they're going to take the safer route. And North Carolina is going to, you know, play for the ACC title last year, and they do have a new quarterback of their own as well. But I think you'll see Kirby Smart, you know, play it maybe a little safe in this game, especially if Georgia does get Nick Chubb back, which now it looks like they actually might for this first contest. They'll want a quarterback back there who's going to limit the mistakes, and I think Grayson Lambert would probably give them that best opportunity right now. But Jacob, I do think he ultimately, you know, will get a starting job at some point this year, just a matter of when.
Yeah, you kind of addressed my next question, and I mean, listen, I think anybody who saw him play, anybody who saw the play that he got hurt and has seen any of the story since, I mean, I understand some opposing fans might say, boy, I hope we don't face Nick Chubb, but I think most people are rooting for this kid to get back. I mean, is he like a bionic man to maybe play the season opener? Correct me if I'm wrong. There was fear he was never playing football again, right?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, I watched the replay of that injury a number of times, and the knees just aren't supposed to bend and twist like his did at Tennessee in that contest. But, you know, I've covered this team a long time. I honestly can maybe think of one, you know, two or three other players in all this, the years I've covered George, who has as much courage, gunch, or whatever you want to call it, just will just to go beyond what normal people are able to do than Nick Chubb. I mean, this thing happened, the injury happened in early October of last year. But he started out spring camp. Now, he didn't practice. He won't practice probably until fall. But he was dressed in full pads every single day of practice. He's already doing cutting, making cuts, and run polish. I mean, it's just something that's really unheard of. And there was I think you probably find it on YouTube, a little video of him on the treadmill just going like 100 miles an hour. I mean, it's just crazy what this young man has been able to do. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I think, he's one of the good stories in college football. I know a lot of people, not just Georgia fans, have rooted for him to get back.
Yeah, and I think, and I don't know how familiar you are with this guy because his injury actually happened the year before Missouri joined the SEC, but what that return can do for a football team, I mean, Henry Josie tore his knee up here against Texas in Missouri's last year in the Big 12, and there was fear he would never play again, and then he came back and really was the heart and soul of Missouri's 2013 team that won the SEC title or SEC East title. And I mean, just the emotional impact of the other guys seeing that guy on the practice field, I think can't be underestimated.
No question about that. And Nick Chubb, and you're exactly right about that. His teammates, they all definitely rally around this guy. Nick doesn't say a lot. He's not a very verbal person, you know, but he's one of these cats that when he does something on the field, his teammates are all watching. And when he gets a little bit excited, they get excited. And if he can, again, come back with any kind of semblance of his old self, that's going to be a tremendous boost for Georgia, not just from an offensive perspective, but I think just from the well-being of the team itself, just feeling good about themselves, knowing that their, you know, main cog is back there on the field.
You're talking to Anthony Dasher. We got three or four more here. We've talked a lot about offense, but just kind of thumbnail sketch defensively. Georgia, you know, obviously Kirby Smart's a defensive-minded guy, but better or worse, you know, what do you expect this year?
Well, right now, I'd probably say a little bit worse for a couple of reasons. I mean, Georgia's depth on defense is really right in nowhere near where it needs to be, I think, to compete at the championship level. And that's going to be, I think, an issue, at least early on, until something, maybe some of the young kids they've got coming into this freshman class can get adjusted. Of course, Mel Tucker, you know, came with Kirby. The defense itself is going to be pretty much the same. I think the calls are going to be pretty similar again because Jeremy Pruitt, the previous 2 years, an Alabama guy himself, so they're running the same defense. But depth is an issue again, especially on the defensive line where they lost three key players, and and you count the fact that there's a couple of kids are going to probably wind up be suspended from that position for the first game or so for some silly things they've done over the past few weeks. It's going to be a little thin up front, and I think that's the biggest concern they have right now.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, and I understand it's a different opinion for every person probably. I know a lot of Georgia fans were ready for Mark Richt to go. I think some of them probably said, boy, he's been pretty good here. And I don't honestly even remember fired, resigned, what the official story was. But
yeah.
The only comparison I've got, I continuously saw Georgia fans saying we should be better than this, we should be better than this. I remember in the early to mid-2000s when Frank Solich was winning 10, 11 games at Nebraska, and they said, well, he's not winning national titles. That's not good enough here. And Nebraska, frankly, has never been as good as they were since they let him go. Do you is there any fear that 4 or 5 years down the road, Georgia wakes up and goes, you know what? We had it pretty good with that guy that was winning 10 games every year and getting to the SEC title game every two or three.
It could, again, but it just depends on how Kirby does. I mean, again, Mark Richt, he was fired. I mean, I know they worded it that was the case, but he was definitely fired. And the reason he was fired is because he had not won a championship, mm-hmm. had not won a title since, 2005, and he won the SEC crown in the Georgia Dome that year. So there's a lot of pressure on Kirby to step in and make that kind of thing happen. But, yeah, I mean, if Georgia goes and just, you know, scuffle around, doesn't really do any better, I'm sure there will be some people wondering what if. But I will say this, though. I mean, I was totally ambivalent to the change. It didn't matter to me one way or the other. But I have since Kirby has been named coach, that I guess this happens anytime you have a coaching change. But the fan base seemed to be a little more galvanized before. They used to a lot different, a lot more excitement. You know, mm-hmm. as we saw at the G-Day game where they had 93,000 announced crowd show up, and it was a lot more than that, to be honest with you. So at least one thing Kirby's done, at least right now, is to get all the fans behind the program again. But again, you well know, it's what happens on Saturdays that ultimately counts, and that's going to be Kirby's ultimate test to see what happens there.
Yeah, you correct me if I'm off base here with kind of what I've thought about the reaction to Richt the last two or three years, because I feel like this has kind of been an annual thing. Is he going to come back? Is he not? And I always think, well, the only way you can be much better than Mark Richt has been at Georgia is if you're winning national titles. I mean, the yeah. school's won one national title. It was 35 years ago because they had a dude named Herschel Walker. Mm-hmm. I think those expectations are just a little bit out of whack.
Well, maybe a little bit, but here's the thing also, too, that you think about the fact that Georgia is one of the hotbeds for recruiting, not just in the Southeast, but the entire country. And there has been, and you look at all the guys that Georgia's placing in the NFL over the years, one of the top two or three, again, in the whole United States. And the criticism for Richt has been he has not been able to develop that talent to the level that it needs to be to compete for titles. And again, that's a subject we could probably, bash around, all afternoon, one day. But you know, I can see both sides of that equation, but I do think though that you know, there probably is a little bit something to say for them. I mean, Georgia fans have been spoiled, no question about that. I mean, like the one title in 1980, true title is what I like to call it, 1980. But you know, with the success other programs have had too, they, you know, Georgia fans and the administration have seen Alabama, Florida, LSU, you know, Auburn, all win national titles. They want to know why not us? Ultimately, that's what led to Coach Rick's demise.
Yeah, it is a dangerous game for anybody in America to say, why can't we do what Alabama has been doing? I would say that.
Yeah.
Last thing for you, you mentioned all the NFL talent. Draft is tonight. How many guys from Georgia, you know, do you expect to go, and who's going to be the first one off the board?
Well, Larry Florida will be the first one off the board tonight at some point in time. I mean, I've seen a projection, I think, number 10 to the Giants, I think it is, and I've even seen the Jaguars at number 6 maybe have some interest in. So he'll be a first-round pick. I'm not sure exactly what, but he'll be the first to go. But, you know, also the next few days, I look for George Jenkins, who I think is a second-round pick, Malcolm Mitchell, Keith Marshall, who just blew it up at Indy at the Combine, John Theus. Gosh, and that's probably one or two more. Chris Mays, you know, nose guard. Sterling Bailey may be a seventh-round pick. So they're going to have probably 5 or 6, maybe 7 guys get picked in the draft this weekend.
Good deal. Well, Dash, I appreciate it, man. We will catch up with you later on in the summer. Hope you enjoy the quote-unquote downtime here for a little while.
Yeah, what is downtime?
Yeah, there's a couple weeks coming up here, I think.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
See you, Gabe.
Anthony Dasher, UGASports.com. Great job covering the Bulldogs. He's been covering Georgia football for like 20 years. One of the better sites in the Rivals Network. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't say that. I would just kind of gloss over it. It's a really good site if you want to follow Georgia. Read their stuff. They do a really nice job. And, hey, the Kirby Smart Show. I don't know. I think you can tell where I stand. I thought it was a little ridiculous to force Mark Richt out. But they've made their choice. They will lie in that bed, and we will see how it goes. We've checked in at Vandy. I forget who else. I think we talked to Florida a couple weeks ago, Georgia today. We'll make sure to get around the rest of the SEC East, check in with LSU and Arkansas, Missouri's opponents from the West over the next few weeks. And also, thanks to Nate Strong, Demarie Crockett, and we will get some more signees on the podcast for you guys to get you through that slow time of the summer months. Thanks for listening. Be back next Thursday.